The following is an excerpt from the Science Magazine podcast. To hear the whole show, visit www.sciencemag.org and click on Science Podcast.
Science's Lauren Schenkman is sitting in for David Graham with a wrap-up of some of the latest science news from Science's online daily news site, Science Now, including a story about how acupuncture works. Lauren, before we get to the new research, what had been the hypothesis about how acupuncture works or seems to work?
Well, some people thought that when the needle goes in, it stimulates pain-sensing nerves, and then your brain releases these compounds called endorphins, and those circulate and they make you feel better. And other people just thought it was a placebo effect where people thinking that the needle was doing something was actually releasing the endorphins.
So in this new study, what did researchers do?
So in this study, scientists were performing acupuncture on mice. So the first thing they did was they anesthetized a mouse because a mouse isn't going to hold still if you try to stab it with a needle. And then they inserted a needle into an acupuncture point on its leg. And then they sampled the fluid around the needle. And what they found is that in that area just around the needle, there was a 24-fold rise in adenosine. And adenosine kind of acts like a local pain reliever. So this seemed to imply that the needle stimulated the release of adenosine, and that's what makes a person feel better. The next thing they did was try to figure out whether boosting the action of this adenosine would help relieve pain in the foot. So the first step was creating mice with foot problems, which they did by either performing neurosurgery or injecting something that would make their foot really inflamed. And these animals then became really sensitive. If you touch their foot, they draw their foot immediately away. They're really sensitive to pain and touch. But they found that with these mice that had these painful feet, if they inserted an acupuncture needle, it would make them less sensitive to pain. The other thing that worked was injecting a drug that boosted adenosine's action. So that also made them less sensitive to pain. But with mice that don't have a cell surface receptor for adenosine, these treatments won't work. So that really seems to imply that with the acupuncture, it has to be adenosine that's relieving pain.
So the idea then is acupuncture works only when the needles are inserted near to where the pain actually is.
Well, that's what this study suggests. So it doesn't really explain why an acupuncturist should put a needle in your head if you're having a pain in your foot, which they sometimes do. But that's a topic for another research study.
Okay. Thanks, Lauren. So what other stories have we brought with you this week?
My second story that I have is about the world's oldest fish supper, which happened 1.95 million years ago, which is 150,000 years earlier than the previously known earliest fish supper, on the banks of a river in Kenya. Basically, this is an archaeological site where researchers found bones of catfish and tools and even turtle and crocodile bones.
Why does the 150,000 years difference matter? Why are researchers interested particularly in that time frame?
Well, it supports a hypothesis that has to do with how humans got their big brains. So the first markedly bigger brains appear in Homo erectus, who lived about 1.8 million years ago. And so researchers thought that about 2 million years ago, early human ancestors must have started eating meat. But fish, as you may know, has omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids, and these are essential for human brain growth. But the only previous evidence they had of eating fish was from 1.8 million years ago. So researchers thought these people must have been eating fish earlier, but they didn't have any evidence until now. So this really fits with that hypothesis and supports it.
So are researchers saying this is one big fish-eating extravaganza, or was this across a number of archaeological horizons, if you will?
It would be quite a lot for just one night. 41 bones of catfish, 15 from other fish, crocodiles, turtles. Basically, it's the bones of 48 animals, so that'd be kind of a big night. But it seems to have happened over the course of several weeks or months. So maybe a settlement. This is what they ate for a while.
Okay. So last story. What's this last one about?
This last story addresses a sort of controversial idea, and that's the idea that a country's soil and climate determines how prosperous that country will be.
Determines. That does sound controversial.
Yes, because there should be other factors, you know, culture, history, what political institution a nation has. All these things should also affect how prosperous a nation is.
So is there some new evidence for this determinism or a new model? What's going on here?
So this is a new assessment of this idea using a model that was originally built to study moths.
Moths?
Moths. Yes. So this is a model that can take a bunch of different factors, day and night temperature, rainfall, vegetation, and kind of put all these things together and say where certain species of moth should live. But this moth expert thought that you could kind of use the same model and put in things like soil type, precipitation in winter and summer, and then use that to figure out where you would get certain forms of land use. So which countries were better suited to farming, which countries are better suited to ranching, which ones to nomadic wandering or hunting and gathering. So when they put all these variables in, what they got was sort of a map of the world that showed where you would have these different land uses. And, you know, kind of surprisingly, it was pretty good at predicting how land is actually used. So the model showed that Europe was great for crop farming, which can support much higher populations. And it also showed that in large chunks of Africa, you could have actually two different uses of land. You could have agriculture and you could also have nomadic ranching. And the researcher said that this could have been a seed of conflict, nomads versus farmers, that sort of thing. So it kind of goes with things that we see today.
You said it sort of matches up with present land use. How much? What's the number here?
Well, it failed one-third of the time. So two-thirds of the time, it was right. One-third of the time, not so right. So that seems to imply that there really are other factors that come into play as well. But the model could have been more accurate before a time period, before technology, before all these other things became more important than land. And the other thing is that, you know, climate and soil also change. So the model doesn't really take that into account.
Because it's looking at modern day soil and climate conditions and matching those up against political and cultural uses of land today.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, well, thanks, Lauren.
Thanks, Rob.
Science's Lauren Shankman sitting in for David Graham with a wrap-up of some of the latest science news from Science's online daily news site, Science Now. Find all these stories and many more, plus postings on the science policy blog, Science Insider, at news.sciencemag.org.